Okay, good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Mark Manti, and I serve as chair of the board, and thanks for coming out tonight. We will start by just introducing ourselves, and then we want to just let you know what we've been doing since Friday, besides eating ice cream and enjoying Holden. And then leave plenty of time for engagement. So,
big E.
The big E. So, why don't we start down here and then we'll work our way across. We'll just introduce ourselves and where we're from.
How long have you been on the board?
We can try and remember that, yeah.
my name is Carl Anderson. I'm from Sale Morgan, and I think I've been on the board seven years.
Josh Post, Seattle, Washington. I don't think there's another Seattle, so I can say this. And a little less than a year, I guess.
My name is Norma Gallegos. I'm originally from a village in Mexico. Born in Mexico, raised in Kansas, currently live in Wenatchee, and have been visiting Holden for over 10 years, on the board about 3 years.
And Mark Manti, Snohomish, Washington, fifth year on the board.
Stacy Jubala from Oak Park, Illinois, and my fifth year on the board.
Darius Larson from Big Sky, Montana. I'm just starting, I think it's my third year.
Rob Quello from the Seattle area, and my seventh year on the board.
Norm Metzler from the other Vancouver, Vancouver, Washington. And I've been on the board 11 years now.
Hans Johnson from Vancouver, BC. I've been on the board for 3 years now.
Lola Dean, Shaw Island, Washington, and this is my third year.
Chris Sharon from St. Paul, Minnesota, and this is my fifth year on the board.
I'm Linda Kingery from Bemidji, Minnesota. This is my first year on the board.
Sarah Pitcher from Chicago, and this is my first year.
Dorothy Basque from Valparaiso, Indiana. This is my 11th year. We get off the board after 12 years. So Norm and I and one other member will be leaving next year.
I'm Lois Rindle from New York. It might be more than one New York, Josh. This is my first year on the board.
I'm Ann Cohan from Seattle, Washington. This is my seventh year.
I'm Os Matsutani from Anchorage, Alaska. This is my seventh year also.
And Kathy Blomker from Madison, Wisconsin, and this is my third year.
Now, I'm not exaggerating when I say these are some of the best people I've ever worked with. And they are very diligent and love Holden. And I thought it'd be good to just start tonight by reminding everybody of our mission and vision for Holden. And see it posted around the village, I'm sure, but it's good to, we always try and ground ourselves in that as we deliberate the future in the business of Holden Village. The vision of Holden Village is the love of God making new the church and the world through the cross of Jesus Christ. The mission of Holden Village, a Lutheran ministry, is to welcome all people into the wilderness to be called, equipped, and sent by God as we share rhythms of word and sacrament, work, recreation and study, intercession and healing. And we're here to tell you that those are alive and well. The health of the village is very good. We went through a transition in directors about a year ago. And Chuck and Steph have managed that with great skill and finesse. And we're so appreciative of them as partners in this ministry. We had the opportunity, the board, I think it's maybe a tradition of every 5-6 years, tries to do a winter retreat here at the village. And how many of you have come to the village in the winter? Quite a few. So, you know what it's like, when we arrived, it was an iceberg, Literally an iceberg. It rained for 3-4 days prior and then would freeze at night. And we'd see sawdust sprinkled across Main Street, and Brent was out there chipping away at things. And the Mavericks were working hard to make sure we didn't have any slips and falls. But we spent a long weekend. It was Super Bowl weekend. And if you can believe this, there was a contingent of folks that were waiting for a DVD of the Super Bowl to come up by ferry. And we were all sworn, any of us that knew the outcome of the game were sworn to secrecy. And Chris, is Chris here? Did that actually...
It worked.
It worked.
I did not know until I watched it. It was great.
Yeah. So, you know...
It was a good game to watch.
It was a good game to watch.
We watched it Wednesday night.
All right. I had a hard time keeping quiet. But we really came... We came to that retreat knowing, well, number one, that we're entering our next 50 years as Holden Village. And number two, we had this big thing looming over our head called mine remediation that had been talked about for 20 years, right? And at least. But one of the outcomes of the retreat was that we really needed to embrace that and assume that it's going to happen and get serious about preparing for it. So the board, with the help of some facilitators, really took us through a process about and grounded ourselves in the theology of the cross and where Holden could go for the next 50 years and tried to imagine a lot of things. And this really opened our minds, I think. So what we came out of that with was a few points I'd like to make. One, you know, this is a great opportunity, this mine remediation. Not only is it cleaning up an environmental scar and the water that is so rich to, you know, our land, Lake Chelan, Columbia River, out into the ocean, gets cleaned up. But we also will be given the opportunity to make Holden known to a much greater community than is been known in the past. And you start to see it already. There's 30 mine workers here in the village. All of them are getting exposure to Holden, telling their friends, bringing people up here already. It's a great opportunity for us to show hospitality to a wider community than we've traditionally done. We also have the opportunity to ready the village for the next 50 years. And, you know, there's projects that occur all the time here. They slowly occur. Some of them go a little faster than others. But we have the chance now to really get a bunch of work done during 2 years of heavy construction that benefits the village. We also have a unique opportunity in today's digital age, if you will, to even if you can't be here at Holden during the time of heavy construction, we'd like to figure out ways that you can engage with Holden. Either Holden on the road, a greater Holden on the internet, opportunities to come here for a work week during the heavy construction. All those were talked about, and they're really unique opportunities for us. And we also have the opportunity to really go after some improvements to the village that would set us up for expanded ministry. So you probably know that power here in the winter is very scarce, and there's a little software program that turns lights off and various things off so we have enough kilowatts to run the essential stuff. If we had a little more juice, our winter program could expand. And it's really a fantastic place in the winter for those of you who've been able to enjoy that. So that's just one example that we were challenged to think about. So we came into this board meeting with a pretty big list of to-dos. And my colleagues here, we all agreed it was a fairly daunting list, but we're actually pleased to report that we got through it and we took some major actions. You'll be hearing more about a formalized communication plan and talking points about the remediation and where Holden is going. You'll be hearing more about a 50th anniversary celebration, opportunities in St. Paul and over on the west side of Washington, and many other opportunities to get engaged next year in a 50th anniversary celebration. You'll be hearing about a capital campaign, and that would celebrate both 50 years of Holden and also help us afford some of the infrastructure improvements that are possible during this time of mine remediation and bringing, you know, construction crews up here and getting a bunch of stuff done. We also tackled the topic of director search and continuity. And if you weren't aware, Chuck and Steph were called to a 2-year term, and that would end September 2012. And after they discerned some things and the board discerned some things, today it was mutually agreed that we would be extending that call, and they will be serving through the time of heavy construction and through 2014 at least. There they are. Want to say anything?
Thank you, and we'll continue to look to all of you to keep things going and sending prayers this way. We're excited.
So are we. We also did something kind of fun today. We looked at a bunch of projects that we could take on during this time. And there's lots to do around here, as you can imagine. And we actually went through a process where we helped the directors and the management team kind of understand a priority of these projects from the board's view. And they range from roof replacements, you know, Koinonia roof, and finishing the remodel here, to Railroad Creek Hydro possibilities with the mining company, to, oh, help me out with some
Porch
others.
Porchery building. Porches.
Porches and
purple pipe.
That's a good one. So a fire protection system for the village at perimeter and lawns and stuff. If we had a wildfire here. So a lot of really, really great stuff. And then we really put some things in motion for planning, you know, how we would work with the directors to come up with the resources and the management staff, and to both, you know, weather the time through remediation, serve, you know, 200 to 400 mine workers in here at any one point, and reemerge successfully as a renewed Holden Village. Okay, so all that was done in the past 4 days. We also elected some new officers, or re-elected, actually, it turned out. So Carl Anderson is serving as secretary, and then Chris Sharon was re-elected as vice president. We completed the director's evaluation, which we try and do every year. And then we received staff reports on the health of the village and what people were up to. And this is a great director and management team. We are really, really blessed. So that's great. So we'd like to, you know, take some time to just answer questions and you know, invite any of my colleagues on the board to speak. We will be, you know, Stacy here is heading up our 50th anniversary campaign, and she and John will be having their first child Unfortunately, right about the time, we're going to have two big events. So, you know, that's three events for you. October 15th, if you're from the Twin City area or can get close to that, we're going to have an anniversary celebration at Luther Seminary. That's a Saturday, and that'll be a lot of fun. There'll be a teaching program and dinner and then worship. So I urge you to attend that if you can. And then November 12th in Everett, Washington, that's the tentative site for this at Trinity College. We'll be also having a 50th anniversary for people to attend that are in the Puget Sound area. So anything I miss, folks, that you'd like to...
Well, I think you can add that we're going to be celebrating that 50th through all of next summer up here in the village as well.
And we hope to have other gatherings throughout the year, but just as the Holand community is deep and wide across the U.S. and Canada and beyond, we're open to being creative too. And we know that we can't plan big events like the ones in Minneapolis and Everett in every location, but if you in your area would like to get to know other people who come to Holden that maybe aren't from your congregation or your community but live nearby, the village can help with sending you a list of mailing labels for the zip codes in your area if you want to have a potluck or sing Holden evening prayer and just gather people. So you can talk to Chuck and Steph or myself, because we hope that this is a year not only of reminiscing and looking back, but looking forward to new relationships and sharing the story with other people who have maybe not been to Holden before.
So questions?
Do you have a treasurer? What is your financial situation?
Okay. Lola is our treasurer. And
the financial situation is very good.
We're paying our bills. Finance and audit committee.
Mm-hmm. And we have a good committee working on some things, particularly in light of the changes that we're going to be going through in the years of remediation. There's a lot of financial figuring out that needs to be done regarding that. And then I've got a great committee.
Although I think a statement of where we're doing good right now, that's very true. I'll also say, as we're starting the capital campaign, that's a very deliberate action because there's some very significant improvements that we want to have the opportunity to undertake during this time. And the unfortunate reality of those is there's some significant price tags that are associated with that. And really to set up our ministry for the next 50 years, I think that it's something we do need to recognize that we're in a situation where we still need help.
Do you have a goal, like 50,000 or
50
million?
If you want to write a check for 50 million, we'd be more than happy. But
boy,
somewhere in between those two.
If you could write a check for 12 million, it would fill all that we were looking at.
So we're still, don't quite have the target yet, but we're sort of prior, you know, we started the exercise today of prioritizing the projects and trying to set our targets for all of that.
It will be coming soon.
It will be coming soon.
Do you have any board members that are in Southern California? Can you do an event at Cal Lutheran?
Where's Nada?
Right here.
We have a fundraising person there. So.
Perfect. Okay. I have to get your information, Nada.
Yeah. My daughter is Rachel. She's the alumni director at Cal Lutheran.
Oh.
And she can be the contact.
She can be the contact.
You see how this works?
delegate.
Circle. Any other cities that want to have an event that we can connect people with?
And if any of your congregations, primary Spanish, that's my primary language, if you'd like me to come up and visit any of your churches, and on behalf of the village or my colleagues, I'd like to do that as well.
You said it was a great opportunity, the 2 years, and I think that too, but I'm wondering about, you know, you're starting to prioritize planning. When's your next meeting so you move further on that particular?
Yeah, we We will be getting together in the fall, so right before that event at Everett in November, we'll be having another board meeting. And one of the things that the board's going to be doing quite a bit more of is we've learned to teleconference, and we haven't tried Skype yet, but I wouldn't doubt we do. Internet connection is much better outside the village, by the way. So we'll be working hard in between. Yes, sir.
What do you expect the remediating corporation to do as far as contributing to the welfare and upkeep and improvement of Holden Village?
Mm-hmm. That's a very good question. We are in the midst of a services agreement with Rio Tinto and MWA. And actually, that's in place. Some of that's in place right now. So the people that are coming into the village now, they've actually guaranteed a number of rooms, and there's a rate established where we provide them lodging and food. So that is some reimbursement back to the village. It's a very complex negotiation, and I hope you appreciate it. I can't really get into a lot of details. We've been talking about the mining company is moving. They've already moved the museum, for instance. There'll be a rebuilding of the museum. There'll be quite a few opportunities to contribute in an in-kind way to the village's health. Some of the stuff like with the purple pipe and some of the projects might tie in with some of the work they need to do. The hydro is a big deal. They're still trying to determine their power needs for the water treatment. And if we can cooperate on that and look at that alternative, that's pretty huge.
What about other infrastructure? Other infrastructure improvements, like improving the roads and different.
Oh yeah, there'll be 28 new turnouts on Railroad Creek, and some new bridges and all kinds of early work that's starting to happen right now, actually.
Mark, you might add that they're going to route the traffic for the work so that it does not flow through the center of town. They don't want the risks of coming through town. We don't want them coming through town. So they're building roads around behind the present tailing piles, at least on the other side of the creek.
Yes.
To do their work.
One of the reasons why we can't give you a goal for our capital campaign is that all these other details are yet to be determined with Rio Tinto, too. So once we know what that is, then we can really state those goals. That's why we're hesitating on even that part, because they're right in the midst of the negotiations.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that we are expecting them to be paying full ride. We will not be losing money on this. We will be ensuring that, you know, all the compensation is adequate and appropriate for the services we provide and what happens in the village.
Yeah, just like anybody that's kind of taken out of business a bit for 2 years, you'd expect to be made whole.
At a minimum.
Anything, Chuck and Steph, that will be hit that one okay?
Oh, I was wondering how you were incorporated and what type of tax returns you file. The Better Business Bureau, for instance, puts online all charities,
right,
except churches, which are exempt. And I was wondering where you fit in.
Oh, well, you can look us up. We are a not-for-profit corporation, and 501c3, and the board, part of its business was to look at the 990s for the past 2 years.
So that's online.
Yep, mm-hmm. Yep. And you will find that, you know, the village is basically the cost of the village are subsidized almost, you know, when you add in, when you take all the expenses that are paid by registration, there's about a 40% gap. So donations make up about that 40% gap. And then we have capital donations that go beyond that. But about, in operating expenditures, your registrations only cover about 60% of the cost.
And we should add that, you know, many of the staff members are completely volunteers who even pay their own way to come here and volunteer for short periods of time. And some are stipended at a modest rate across a year, and a few at a more competitive level. So when you think of the gifts, it's one of our core values is gifts. The cost is not just in dollars. You know, the budget, we do a huge amount with every dollar that comes in because so many people are working to multiply those gifts in ways that benefit all of us in hospitality and joy and all of that, as well as financially. So
I just find, you know, the tax returns allow you to compare charities very well. Mm-hmm. It's a very useful document. It's one that I trust that I hope not many people can achieve.
Well, please, I think look, you at find it. That Olden Village would be a very good investment.
And we'll be in touch.
That I can believe.
Your name?
Yeah.
Will you be putting timely updates on the website so we can follow this stuff? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is part of our plan. How many of you use Facebook? Okay. Facebook will be another way that you can keep in touch with Olden. But yeah, our website will be expanded and very current on everything that's going on. We have to put a little more resource to all that to make it all happen, but that's the plan.
Yeah, once we get into the thick of it, I would certainly expect to see daily, almost daily, progress shots, the idea of what's going on, what projects are being done.
We're working right now in this board meeting. We work with a communication plan, and we have some volunteer communication consultants who know and love Holden that are helping us to be on message to those who have never heard of Holden before and those who know and love Holden. And finding ways that the correct information of what's happening with mine remediation, because I'm sure some of you have heard misinformation at different points, that we are all on the same page. So, for example,
we're not closing.
Right, we're open. And we'll be open
we
the whole
open,
time.
Open, open.
As I understand it, the plan is to potentially house 300 to 400 remediation workers, in part because of a concern that due to heavy construction, coming to Holden wouldn't be very appealing to a lot of the current visitors. But due to maybe construction necessities, so what if NWH decides that Holden simply doesn't have the capabilities, or they're just concerned about something going wrong and they decide they're going to house everybody off site? What's the backup plan? What's your contingency? And when, I guess you really don't know when we'll have the payment because it depends on the Forest Service.
I think the contingency plan is that Holden will be open. Things will be different because of the remediation that's occurring in the valley, so we can't tell you exactly as things are going to be right now. Our goal would still be to continue with some infrastructure improvements, which is part of the reason the capital campaign exists, and continue to move forward as those challenges are put forward in front of us.
So if NWH was to decide that for various reasons they couldn't or were not willing to house people here, then there's a sort of a backup plan, and is Rio Tinto prepared then to offer some additional compensation in lieu of lost income? So in a sense, it's sort of a matter of financial indifference as to whether Holden actually houses the remediation workers or not. I mean, is it sort of a financial...
Well, we want to come up with as many win-wins as we can. You know, I got to tell you, these folks have been great to work with. And they all come out of the village speaking very highly of the village. So I think it's really in our best interest to try and make some agreement work, and we're just not yet at the point where we can say it's done.
And I'm not disagreeing with the premise. I'm just thinking there could be some higher up person.
Sure. Yeah, we have to prepare for that. It's a very good point.
We've signed this contract with the Forest Service. We've got to get it done in this many years, and we're depending on a bunch of volunteers to feed 400 people. What if they all just walk out?
part of our due diligence, part of our, you know, is the consideration that perhaps we may have to
pay people.
Yeah. I think if I can answer a little bit too. The our understanding with MWH and Rio Tinto, they really want to avoid any injuries or anything like that, and so they are not. I think they're very much on board for the whole village adapting for those years and housing. If there was another site, Holden Village perhaps tried to run continued program, then we have an inherent conflict there. And the safety is really high priority for both companies. And I think that this solution is one way to everyone be on the same page and have no injuries or nothing that nothing like that would happen. And they, one of the first things that some of their safety people have said, they don't want anything happening at the site. I mean, anything at a big site like this, injury-wise, can really, really put a tone on the whole project. And so that's a key part of that working together as well.
So when you say open, it's not necessarily open for guests. It's open for work teams and staff.
Right.
In some of the periods of time.
Right. It'll be different, but there'll still be vespers. There will still be.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that. You know, a resolve is that the rhythms of this village continue. We won't necessarily be welcoming as many guests. We will try and have some winter program and, you know, J-term and maybe youth weekends if possible, but it's, you know, we can't have little kids running around like they do right now in a heavy construction site.
So I spoke with one of the folks that represented, I think it was last evening, represented MWH, and he was saying that this is a very desirable location for mine workers to come to. You can imagine they often work in very remote mining areas, and to come to a place where they're going to have the kind of accommodations that you have here in the village could be pretty attractive. So he was saying that they're going to be able to recruit the creme de la creme, the kind of people who really fit at Holden and are not looking for wild and crazy times up here, but really will fit the Holden spirit. And they're very ready if people don't fit the Holden spirit, as he described it, NBO, next boat out. It sounds like we're going to get really good quality of people who are these professional mining remediation workers.
This is a very cush job camp.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
At a pool hall.
And evening vespers.
My understanding is that right now there is no agreement, and I'm just curious to know how long the work would be going on without anything in writing.
Well, actually, Chuck, we have some agreements in place for the workers that are right now.
Do the work. Do you mean agreement for a certain village or agreement for the...
He's talking about the...
Record of decision.
Record of decision.
Yeah, the Rio Tinto is without, and Tom can chime into this as well, without having the agreement for the remedial action, they've gone out financially on a limb to move ahead with all of these early works. Some of them are ordering, and others are sticking their necks out in the to make the opportunity to be able to complete these works.
Yeah, part of the good thing about that is that by doing that work early, it greatly increases their ability to get the heavy construction done in those, that two-year window we're trying to fit them into. You know, if they were really trying to pinch their pennies, they would just hold on to everything and wait, and then not go till everything was settled with the agencies. But that would mean probably 3 years for sure of their construction. So we're real glad they're willing to do that, actually.
Have you guys talked about a drop-dead date when if the record of decision isn't signed, it's going to have to put everything off for another year?
Well, there is such a drop-dead date. I'm not sure exactly when it is, but, you know, that's... Could happen. Just contingency.
Yeah, I should introduce Tom Newland is our attorney on he has been our attorney for a while.
10 years.
Just been 10 years and knows us inside and out. And he is visiting this week along with the board and is constantly in the meetings with Chuck and others to negotiate these things. It's been a wonderful.
He came as a guest 10 years ago and happened to get involved with this, and he is still working on it. It is a very dangerous. It's a very dangerous thing to come to hold of. You may be involved.
Upstairs is Jim Hushagen. He's waving there. He's actually village attorney, represents, you know, the corporate interest of Holden Village as we negotiate these deals, so.
Mark, I think one thing that we need to make sure people understand is that the record of decision is between the mining company and the Forest Service. It's not with Holden Village. We sit at the table, but we are not part of that particular agreement. We've tried to have as much input as possible. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. We are the local community.
Yeah.
And they, I mean, they are moving ahead. May not be as visible to you yet, but soon, as early as maybe next week, they'll be assembling a 100-foot by 40-foot barge down in Chelan to keep stuff... to start moving stuff up here. And the construction on the turnouts. Hans was looking at the blueprints today in Chalet 2. And I mean, the detail of the design is very specific.
They've got down to under a foot, exactly the shape of all the turnouts, where they'll be, culverts, the embankments. If you go and look at the paper in the library there, it's this thick. You know, they've put a lot of work into this already, and they're pretty much raring to go.
And Mark, maybe just to talk a little bit about a written agreement. You know, most agreements that all of us enter into, or most contracts that all of us enter into, are not written. You know, most of them are oral. We have two written agreements that are in the process of being negotiated right now. Well, one of them is to grant Rio Tinto and MWH access over the next 5 years. The second is the facilities and use agreement by which we essentially sell to them the right to live here, the right to eat here, the right to use some of our facilities, etc. Those, we hope to have those agreements actually signed and in place within the next few months. In the meantime, at MWH last year and this year is in the village pursuant to a number of agreements with Chuck and with the village that are memorialized probably more in emails than they are in written agreements, formal written agreements. But for example, the amount that they are paying us is something that they've agreed to do, and they are in fact paying us that. And what we're charging them for food is something they've agreed to do, and we are charging them for that. So we do have written agreements. We just don't have these two comprehensive agreements in place yet.
So bottom line, just real quick, as we've sat for 4 or 5 days and talked about this every day and heard what's going on, how the agreements are going, you know, our biggest question is, should we be optimistic or not? And I think we believe we should be optimistic. Mm-hmm. And people are saying things are going well. There are still things that could happen that could cause us to, you know, run into our contingency plans. But at this moment, you know, compared to a year ago or 18 months ago, we're very optimistic about how all this works and how prepared we are. It's not going to be easy, but we are pleased with how it's going.
The lease fees that we owe the Forest Service, we're probably not going to be able to have volunteers doing the trails, so we've got some other way to gain that.
I think during, there'll be opportunities at the beginning of the season and throughout the project where people will be, you know, able to come up here and work. And if we do trail cleanup, if we do some other things, we get work credit for that.
The fees might be lower, too.
The fees might be lower, too.
The fees are based on program revenue, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm very new here, and I'm
welcome.
Maybe, thank you. I think you're the only one who doesn't understand this, but how many guests total is the capacity for the village?
What we are right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many about 450?
That's everybody.
450.
That's
and
staff.
That's about 150 staff and teaching staff.
Okay, so that's what I thought it was about. So the understanding of how many workers would be here for this duration would be 400?
Oh, that would be the extreme high end. But
I'm just trying to understand what percentage of the village population during the summer would be guests.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Here we are.
You know, and we're anxious to figure that out too. But we'll, you know, obviously our capacity could be a bit of a constraint or vice versa. But I think most of the time, MWH has been in the 250 range that they're estimating.
They're heavy construction.
Well, this summer and next summer, we've committed to no more than 65 workers.
At all times.
So we can maintain our holding program, but also help with this early work process. And that's about the number that they thought they could work with.
Yeah.
It's unclear, the two heavier, it's unclear the number. If it was to go up to a higher number, it might mean triple and four people per room, that type of thing. It might mean combinations like that. But right now, they don't have their numbers. It's kind of a range.
But the percentage of mine workers to holding guests who come up for spiritual renewal would be, you know, pretty similar to what it is now. I mean, it's not...
For this year, next year, but then there'll be a... kind of turning over to the two heavy construction years, where we'll see at least a 50-50, if not possibly more construction workers here than the old village traditional.
Maybe I wasn't real clear about that, but during the years right now with what we're planning, 2013, 2014, we won't be able to welcome as many guests in the summer months. So our hope is that we offer other opportunities to get involved in Holden. So we might have something at a university or another Lutheran campsite, or it's yet to be determined. Those 2 years will be very challenging in terms of welcoming guests.
So that means that next summer people can register and come as you have always done and find something that's very similar to what's going on now. And that also, we hope and believe, in 2015 we could do that again. And it would be very much like it is now. But in 13 and 14, we probably would have to say you can't bring children, you know, children can't come, and that we wouldn't expect to have all-day programming, because but the program that would be helping to build and paint and clean and serve. But also while having, while continuing to have worship every night, and probably at least Bible study and some arts and crafts and that kind of thing.
So basically, two summers of
yes.
work camp.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
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 Two summers. You got it.
I've never right. been to work camp, but I highly encourage you.
It's fun.
And only summer. Only the months where there's no snow.
Hand over here.
I'm sorry if this question's already been asked because I came in a little late, but will the school remain open during this?
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. We may actually get them some new heat from the school building.
Yeah, that's probably.
Somebody in the
Do you have a list in your mind or whatever of influential people who have been here who can help you? Like, I'm thinking somebody said the U.S. Senator from Washington has actually been here.
Yes.
There, I mean, there's a lot of people out there that have been here that could be a big help in case you run into a jam.
And that list is on my cell phone.
Is everyone clear about the main contours of the remediation? You've all heard that's what it is.
I was wondering, one of the strengths I see here is you have this sort of rotating volunteer group which trains itself, and that's your institutional memory. Two dry years, how are you going to make sure that that lasts through it, because you're going to need that when you come back?
Oh yeah, yeah, and that's why one of the things I talked about earlier is, you know, the continuity that we're trying to promote with directors and then coming up with a management plan that handoffs are real smooth during this time. If people, you know, not everybody can commit to a long-term position here at the village, and that's just the way the village works.
You work very well, but you read it all the way down.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to have your management in the same place.
Right,
it's
right,
the other
exactly.
That have got a lot of the institutional
yep.
members.
Yep.
Aware of the light bulbs,
yep.
And they go,
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's people.
Yeah. Yeah. So there'll be a very diligent process to figure out, you know.
So not only will you be giving money, you're going to come and volunteer, so you'll have that institutional memory. I like you.
One of our core values is to say that Holden Village, the community of Holden Village includes all who work, pray, and give, and visit Holden, okay? There is some really deep institutional memory out there in that wider community. And I just, you know, people who have volunteered for years, maybe they haven't been here for 5 years, but it's very deep memory. And I really hope that this wider community will see, especially that period of reemergence, as an incredibly exciting time to come back here and do those jobs that they know how to do. And I believe that they will. I believe I know lots who are very eager to come back and volunteer in all the ways that we've done over the years.
And we're right.
Well, I was just going to say, and that's one of the reasons we thought we are working so hard to get it done in two very construction years as well.
Yeah.
3, 4, or 5 would have put in a lot of people opinion, a lot of strain on the village from that perspective. But 2 years, we think we can work hard and manage through.
And just as Dorothy was saying, that the Holden community is just, as we all know, not just the people in this room tonight. It is scattered far and wide. And it's a gift in some ways that we are facing these questions right at our 50th anniversary. We have a time to celebrate and a time to look forward to what is to come. And just as Mark was saying, that we may have creative ways of gathering people in those 2 years away from Holden, but I'm sure all of you probably have stories if you've been here before, and if you've just come for the first time, that you'll leave this place knowing people in a new way, and we'll have the Holden community goes with you. It's not just in this space, so we hope that we'll be creative and keeping that memory alive away from here as well.
Has the issue of cell phone service been come up in the negotiations with?
I'm not aware.
As the technical person on the board, I don't think it'll ever be financially viable for a cell phone company to ever want to put something up here.
Good.
Yay!
But the company will probably have satellite phones, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the company has already put in some satellite capability for internet.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, they have the voice over IP technology. But, yeah, to walk around the village and get cell phone coverage, no.
You mentioned the two-year thing. Does this the company that's doing this stuff and all have a reputation that you can be pretty sure that 2 years is a fair estimate? Sounds like it. Mm-hmm.
That they're one of the best. Yeah. You know, these folks, they put together it, number one, in this economy to have work and to be able to take on a big project like this is a huge coup for them. So they've got, you know, their best people, you know, the superintendent, one of them's from Las Vegas, and some other folks from Utah, and they draw from Denver. I mean, they've really put together a great team. And
so many projects I've seen have gone over years, you know?
Yeah, well, they are, you know, it's not in their best interest to have that happen, because we think Rio is probably, you know, holding their feet to the fire to meet the schedule, and there's financial implications to not meeting the schedule.
One thing that might not have been clear, there's 2 years prior to the 2 years of major, and then there might be about 2 years afterwards of lesser work, too. But there'll be two major years. I mean, yeah, much less. Similar to what's happening now.
Yeah.
But also the contracting, I don't know for sure, but it's probably fixed price contracts. So.
The biggest risk factor is actually the agency oversight of the company and the contractor. That's what can slow things down, and that's when the list on Mark's cell phone might
If I might add, by way of hospitality, for you all to know, we're going to be hosting the agencies and mining company and the engineers. And Old Village, we're at least once a month meet together. And we at Old Village will be hosting that meeting on Thursday, all day Thursday. So the executive of the mining company will be coming in tomorrow with the MWH project manager for that project, as well as a number of Forest Service and Department of Ecology people. And so that'll be happening here while you all are here. So just by way of hospitality, so you all know. And
solidarity, Jay?
A couple more, and then we'll.
You've talked about Rio Tinto and MWH putting together really top staff. Is the Forest Service putting together a top staff to coordinate all this stuff?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's been as much consistency. You know, the guy that's heading up as our main contact for the Forest Service used to work at Holden. He started his career at Holden. You know, he's the one that led the meeting that was in the village last year. They do have their interesting bureaucracy, but, you know, we've got a team that's very focused on this. I think Kathy wanted to say something.
Every 2 years, in even numbered years, we elect board members. And as Dorothy mentioned, in 2012, we'll be electing three new board members. And we encourage people to apply. There will be an ad going out in the Village Voice. I don't know when the deadline is. That
in September, it'll reach home. So
okay.
The deadline probably is in August sometime.
Okay, so that'll go out, and then it'll go on to the website, too. And I'll be point person for those applications as they get sent out and sent back. So think about it. There, we are actually changing our terms. They've been six-year terms with the possibility of 2 6-year terms for quite some time, but we're changing those to 4-year terms with the possibility of 3. So the same 12 years, but 4 years, I think, will be a lot more doable for a number of people than 6 years. So think about that if you have Holden in your heart, and look for those hands.
And your will.
You got free ice cream.
Did somebody have their hand upstairs that was...
No, I think some people might have answered it, possibly. I was just wondering if there was actually a financial incentive that you guys are aware of for them to actually finish this project in 2 years. Do you guys have any information like that?
I'm not privy to that.
I don't know. Have they been asked that? Because I think it's a very important question.
You know, I think Tom might be able to talk to us about some clues about insurance and other kinds of things that several years ago it was only $40,000.
$40 million
for the remediation. It's $100 and something now. And every year that they wait, it becomes more and more. And maybe Tom could talk about the...
Well, just once they get started on the work, if they have to button up at the end of the, you know, the good weather and come back and remobilize for a third year, that will cost them millions of dollars just before they've even paid anybody anything. Just to, they want to get done, get in and get out, and have those 2 seasons and then at least get the big machinery and the heavy equipment out. That at a project rate, it just costs an enormous amount of money to you know, close it all down and then remobilize and get it all started again. So they have every reason to try to do it quickly. And Rio Tinto, as folks was referring, that they're very aware that kind of the longer it takes, the more it's going to cost them just generally. So their desire to move quickly is very strong, that they just might not be able to do it anyway due to forces beyond their control. So, and that's where actually Holden working with them, it is actually an advantage to them because, I don't know how many of you remember, but last year this time the public hearing about the cleanup plan was one of the places they had the hearing was here in the village. And the plan that was on the table right then, at that time, would have taken 4 or 5 years of heavy construction. And there were a lot of you in this room said heartfelt things in the meeting, and we wrote very lengthy and just incredibly erudite letters to the Forest Service. We now looks like, you know, they're talking about something that at least could get done in 2 years, and everybody seems to be pulling in the same direction to make that happen. So, you know, we'll do what we can.
Okay, I think we're nearing the end of our time. Was there any one? Take one more if you got it. Yes.
I'll just say thank you to the board because I know you put in a lot of hours.